enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life.
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Hello, this is Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and I am your host, Liv, here with another episode of a reading of the Argonautica, because it's really fucking fun to read ancient epics to you, even if I have to read really old and stuffy public domain translations, because even they are really fun and wild, especially the Argonautica. But first, I am very excited to announce that I and the wonderful women at Ancient History Fangirl are teaming up with the people at Moment House to bring you the first ever live-streamed Moment. That is, a live show from the rooftop in Athens where I will be staying on my upcoming trip. Jen and Jenny and I will be sipping wine while we do one of our favorite things, drunk myths. A little bit less drunk because this one's live and we can edit it, but there will be wine all the same. This time, we are covering the mythological founding of Athens and the early snake people with the Acropolis in the background. Oh, the very place where it happened. I'm so excited. But obviously, travel is a difficult thing right now, so we want to also be very clear about how we're doing it. We recognize the privilege in being able to, and we are doing it safely as humanly possible. We are vaccinated. We are going to be masked as hell. We're going to be taking safety very seriously. We want to help Greece's tourism and help ourselves to wine and olives in the safest way possible. And because Greece has been hit so hard by wildfires this year, on top of such a blow to their tourism economy from COVID, we will also be donating some of the profits from this live-streamed Moment to organizations that are helping people and animals and nature affected by these horrible fires. Tickets for the event start at just $15, and if you're a Patreon patron, you will also hear about a special promo code just for you. It's taking place on September 12th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, but you will be able to catch the show on demand, no matter your time zone, for up to 7 days after the event. You can buy tickets and completely exclusive merch designs and add the bonus option of a Q&A after the fact at momenthouse.com/letstalkaboutmythsbaby. That's momenthouse.com/letstalkaboutmythsbaby, but you will also find a link in the description of this episode. It's going to be seriously cool and fun, and I really don't want you to miss it because you'll be missing out, and also I'm a dork and I really want to sell tickets, so come and hang out with us. And back to the episode at hand. Well, we are on to part three, and we are just getting so deep into the story of Medea, the fact that she absolutely has an incredibly intense love spell placed upon her. None of this is her acting of her own volition, and it's just going to get more and more crazy. Of course, at this point, Medea's father, Aeetes, has told Jason that he's going to have to go through all of these trials if he's going to get the Golden Fleece, and Medea's there to help him, because as we all well know, what would Jason be without Medea? This is the Argonautica by Apollonius, translated by R.C. Seton, Book 3, Part 3. Now soon as ever the maiden saw the light of dawn. With her hands she gathered up her golden tresses, which were floating round her shoulders in careless disarray, and bathed her tear-stained cheeks, and made her skin shine with ointment sweet as nectar. And she donned a beautiful robe fitted with well-bent clasps, and above on her head, divinely fair, she threw a veil gleaming like silver. And there, moving to and fro in the palace, she trod the ground, forgetful of heaven-sent woes thronging round her, and of others that were destined to follow. And she called to her maids. 12 they were, who lay during the night in the vestibule of her fragrant chamber, young as herself, not yet sharing the bridal couch. And she bade them hastily yoke the mules to the chariot to bear her to the beauteous shrine of Hecate. Thereupon the handmaids were making ready the chariot, and Medea, meanwhile, took from the hollow casket a charm, which men say is called the charm of Prometheus. If a man should anoint his body therewithal, having first appeased the maiden, the only begotten, with sacrifice by night, surely that man could not be wounded by the stroke of bronze, nor would he flinch from blazing fire. But for that day he would prove superior both in prowess and in might. It shot up firstborn when the ravening eagle on the rugged flanks of Caucasus let drip to the earth the blood-like ichor of tortured Prometheus, and its flower appeared a cubit above ground in color like the Corycian crocus rising on twin stalks. But in the earth the root was like newly cut flesh, the dark juice of it like the sap of a mountain oak she had gathered in a Caspian shell to make the charm withal, when she had first bathed in 7 ever-flowing streams and had called 7 times on Brimo, nurse of youth, night-wandering Brimo of the underworld, queen among the dead, in the gloom of night clad in dusky garments. And beneath, the dark earth shook and bellowed when the Titanian root was cut, and the son of Iapetus himself groaned, his soul distraught with pain. And she brought the charm forth and placed it in the fragrant band that which engirdled her, just beneath her bosom, divinely fair. And going forth, she mounted the swift chariot, and with her went 2 handmaidens on each side. And she herself took the reins, and in her right hand the well-fashioned whip, and drove through the city. And the rest of the handmaids laid their hands on the chariot behind, and ran along the broad highway, and they kilted up their light robes above their white knees. And even as by the mild waters of Parthenius, or after bathing in the river Amnisus, Leto's daughter stands upon her golden chariot and courses over the hills with her swift-footed roes to greet from afar some richly steaming hecatomb, and with her come the nymphs in attendance, gathering, some at the spring of Amnisus itself, others by the glens and many fountained peaks, and round her whine and fawn the beasts cowering as she moves along. Thus they sped through the city, and on both sides the people gave way, shunning the eyes of the royal maiden. But when she left the city's well-paved streets and was approaching the shrine as she drove over the plains, then she alighted eagerly from the smooth-running chariot and spoke as follows among her maidens. "Friends, verily have I sinned greatly, and took no heed not to go among the stranger folk who roam over our land. The whole city is smitten with dismay, wherefore no one of the women who formerly gathered here day by day has come now hither. But since we have come and no one else draws near, come, let us satisfy our souls without stint with soothing song. And when we have plucked the fair flowers amid the tender grass, that very hour will we return. And with many a gift shall you reach home this very day, if you will gladden me with this desire of mine. For Argus pleads with me, also Chalciope herself. But this that you hear from me, keep silently in your hearts, lest the tale reach my father's ears. As for the stranger who took on him the task with the oxen, they bid me receive his gifts and rescue him from the deadly contest. And I approved their counsel, and I have summoned him to come to my presence apart from his comrades, so that we may divide the gifts among ourselves if he bring them in his hands, and in return may give him a baleful charm. But when he comes, do you stand aloof." So she spoke, and the crafty counsel pleased them all. And straightway Argus drew Aeson's son apart from his comrades as soon as he heard from his brothers that Medea had gone at daybreak to the holy shrine of Hecate, and led him over the plain, and with them went Mopsus, son of Ampycus, skilled to utter oracles from the appearance of birds, and skilled to give good counsel to those who set out on a journey. Never yet had there been such a man in the days of old, neither of all the heroes of the lineage of Zeus himself, nor of those who sprung from the blood of the gods, as on that day the bride of Zeus made Jason, both to look upon and to hold converse with. Even his comrades wondered as they gazed upon him, radiant with manifold graces, and the son of Ampycus rejoiced in their journey, already foreboding how all would end. Now by the path along the plain there stands near the shrine a poplar with its crown of countless leaves, whereon often chattering crows would roost. One of them, meantime, as she clapped her wings aloft in the branches, uttered the counsels of Hera. "What a pitiful seer is this that has not the wit to conceive even what children know, how that no maiden will say a word of sweetness or love to a youth when strangers be near. Begone, sorry prophet, witless one, on thee neither Cypris nor the gentle love's breath in their kindness." She spoke chiding, and Mopsus smiled to hear the god-sent voice of the bird, and thus addressed them. "Do you, son of Aeson, pass on to the temple, where you will find the maiden, and very kind will her greeting be to you through the prompting of Cypris, who will be thy helpmate in the contest, even as Phineus, Agenor's son, foretold. But we too, Argus and I, will await thy return, apart in this very spot. Do you all alone be a suppliant and win her over with prudent words." He spoke wisely, and both at once gave approval. Nor was Medea's heart turned to other thoughts, for all her singing and never a song that she essayed pleased her long in her sport. But in confusion she ever faltered. Nor did she keep her eyes resting quietly upon the throng of her handmaids, but to the paths far off she strained her gaze, turning her face aside. Oft did she hear her heart sink fainting within her bosom whenever she fancied she heard passing by the sound of a footfall or of the wind. But soon he appeared to her longing eyes, striding along loftily, like Sirius coming from ocean, which rises fair and clear to see, but brings unspeakable mischief to flocks. Thus then did Aeson's son come to her fair to see, but the sight of him brought lovesick care. Her heart fell out from her bosom, and a dark mist came over her eyes, and a hot blush covered her cheeks. And she had no strength to lift her knees backwards or forwards, but her feet beneath were rooted to the ground. And meantime all her handmaidens had drawn aside. So they too stood face to face without a word, without a sound, like oaks or lofty pines, which stand quietly side by side on the mountains when the wind is still. Then again, when stirred by the breath of the wind, they murmur ceaselessly. So they too were destined to tell out all their tale, stirred by the breath of love. And Aeson's son saw that she had fallen into some heaven-sent calamity. With soothing words, he addressed her thus. "Why, pray, maiden, do you fear me so much, all alone as I am? Never was I one of those idle boasters, such as other men are, not even aforetime, when I dwelt in my own country. Wherefore, maiden, be not too much abashed before me, either to inquire whatever you will, or to speak your mind. But since we have met one another with friendly hearts in a hallowed spot, where it is wrong to sin, speak openly and ask questions, and beguile me not with pleasing words, for at the first you did promise your sister to give me the charms my heart desires. I implore you by Hecate herself, and by your parents, and by Zeus who holds his guardian hand over strangers and suppliants. I come here to you both a suppliant and a stranger, bending the knee in my sore need. For without you and your sister never will I prevail in the grievous contest. And to you will I render thanks hereafter for your aid, as is right and fitting for men who dwell far off, making glorious your name and fame. And the rest of the heroes returning to Hellas will spread your renown, and so will the heroes' wives and mothers, who now perhaps are sitting on the shore and making moan for us. Their painful affliction you might scatter to the winds. In days past, the maiden Ariadne, daughter of Minos, with kindly intent rescued Theseus from grim contests. The maiden whom Pasiphae, daughter of Helios, bore. But she, when Minos had lulled his wrath to rest, went aboard the ship with him and left her fatherland. And her even the immortal gods loved. And as a sign in mid-sky, a crown of stars, which men call Ariadne's crown, rolls along all night among the heavenly constellations. So to you too shall be thanks from the gods, if you will save so mighty an array of chieftains. For surely from your lovely form your art is like to excel in gentle courtist. Thus he spoke, honoring her, and she cast her eyes down with a smile divinely sweet, and her soul melted within, uplifted by his praise, and she gazed upon him face to face. Nor did she know what word to utter first, but was eager to pour out everything at once, and forth from her fragrant girdle ungrudgingly she brought out the charm, and he at once received it in his hands with joy. And she would even have drawn out all her soul from her breast and given it to him, exulting in his desire. So wonderfully did love flash forth a sweet flame from the golden head of Aeson's son. And he captivated her gleaming eyes, and her heart within grew warm, melting away as the dew melts away round roses when warmed by the morning's light. And now both were fixing their eyes on the ground abashed, and again were throwing glances at each other, smiling with the light of love beneath their radiant brows. And at last, and scarcely then, did the maiden greet him. "Take heed now that I may devise help for you. When at your coming my father has given you a deadly teeth from the dragon's jaws for sowing, then watch for the time when the night is parted in two, then bathe in the stream of the tireless river, and alone, apart from others, clad in dusky raiment, dig a rounded pit, and therein slay an ewe, and sacrifice it whole, heaping high the pyre on the very edge of the pit, and propitiate only begotten Hecate, daughter of Perses, pouring from a goblet the hive-stored labor of bees. And then, when you have heedfully sought the grace of the goddess, retreat from the pyre, and let neither the sound of feet drive you to turn back, nor the baying of hounds, lest haply you should maim all the rites, and yourself fail to return duly to your comrades. And at dawn, steep this charm in water, strip and anoint your body therewith as with oil, and in there will be boundless prowess and mighty strength, and you will deem yourself a match not for men, but for the immortal gods. And besides, let your spear and shield and sword be sprinkled. Thereupon the spearheads of the earthborn men shall not pierce you, nor the flame of the deadly bulls as it rushes forth resistless. But such you shall not be for long, but for that one day. Still, never flinch from the contest, and I will tell you besides of yet another help. As soon as you have yoked the strong oxen, and with your might and your prowess have ploughed all the stubborn fallow, and now along the furrows the giants are springing up, when the serpent's teeth are sown on the dusky clods, if you mark them uprising in throngs from the fallow, cast unseen among them a massy stone, and they over it, like ravening hounds over their food, will slay one another, and do yourself hasten to rush to the battle strife, and the fleece thereupon you shall bear far away from Aya. Nevertheless, depart wherever you will, or your pleasure takes you, when you have gone hence. Thus she spoke, and cast her eyes to her feet in silence, and her cheek, divinely fair, was wet with warm tears, as she sorrowed for that he was about to wander far from her side over the wide sea. And once again she addressed him face to face with mournful words, and took his right hand, for now shame had left her eyes. Remember, if you should return to your home, Medea's name, and so will I remember yours, though you be far away. And of your kindness, tell me this, where is your home? Whither will you sail hence in your ship over the sea? Will you come near wealthy Orchomenus, or near the Aeaean Isle? And tell me of the maiden, whosoever she be, that you have named, the far-renowned daughter of Pasiphae, who is kinswoman to my father. Thus she spoke, and over him too, at the tears of the maiden, stole Love the Destroyer, and he thus answered her. All too surely do I deem that never by night and never by day will I forget you if I escape death, and indeed make my way in safety to the Achaean land, and Aeetes set not before us some other contest worse than this. And if it pleases you to know about my fatherland, I will tell it out, for indeed my own heart bids me do that. There is a land encircled by lofty mountains, rich in sheep and in pasture, where Prometheus, son of Iapetus, begat goodly Deucalion, who first founded cities and reared temples to the immortal gods, and first ruled over men. This land the neighbors who dwell around call Haemonia, and it stands Aeolus, my city. And in it many others, where they have not so much as heard the name of the Aeaean Isle. Yet there is a story that Minyas started thence. Minyas, son of Aeolus, built long ago the city of Orchomenus that borders on the Cadmeans. But why do I tell you all this vain talk of our home and of Minos's daughter, far-famed Ariadne, by which glorious name they called that lovely maiden of whom you asked me? Would that, as Minos then was well inclined to Theseus for her sake, so may your father be joined to us in friendship. Thus he spoke, soothing her with gentle converse, but pangs most bitter stirred her heart, and in grief did she address him with vehement words. In Hellas, I ween, this is fair to pay heed to covenants, but Aeetes is not such a man among men as you say was Pasiphae's husband Minos, nor can I liken myself to Ariadne. Wherefore speak not of guest love, but only do you, when you have reached Iolcus, remember me. And you, even in my parents' despite, will I remember. And from far off may a rumor come to me or some messenger bird, when you forget me. Or me, even me, may swift blasts catch up and bear over the sea hence to Iolcus, that so I may cast reproaches in your face and remind you that it was by my good will you did escape. May I then be seated in your halls, an unexpected guest. Thus she spoke, with piteous tears falling down her cheeks, and to her Jason replied, Let the empty blast wander at will, lady, and the messenger bird, for vain is your talk. But if you come to those abodes and to the land of Hellas, honored and reverenced shall you be by women and men, and they shall worship you even as a goddess, for that by your counsel their sons came home again, their brothers and kinsmen and stalwart husbands were saved from calamity. And in our bridal chamber shall you prepare our couch, and nothing shall come between our love till the doom of death fold us round.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.com.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty, beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Thus he spoke, and her soul melted within her to hear his words. Nevertheless, she shuddered to behold the deeds of destruction to come. Poor wretch, not long was she destined to refuse a home in Hellas. For thus Hera devised it, that Aeaean Medea might come to Iolcus for a bane to Peleus, forsaking her native land. And now her handmaids, glancing at them from a distance, were grieving in silence, and the time of day required that the maiden should return home to her mother's side. But she thought not yet of departing, for her soul delighted both in his beauty and in his winsome words. But Aeson's son took heed, and spoke at last, though late. It is time to depart, lest the sunlight sink before we know it, and some stranger notice all. But again we will come and meet here. So did they too make trial of one another thus far with gentle words, and thereafter parted. Jason hastened to return in joyous mood to his comrades and the ship, she to her handmaids, and they all together came near to meet her. But she marked them not at all as they thronged around, for her soul had soared aloft amid the clouds, and her feet of their own accord mounted the swift chariot, and with one hand she took the reins, and with the other the whip of cunning workmanship, to drive the mules, and they rushed, hasting to the city and the palace. And when she was come, Chalciope, in grief for her sons, questioned her. But Medea, distraught by swiftly changing thoughts, neither heard her words nor was eager to speak in answer to her questions. But she sat upon a low stool at the foot of her couch, bending down, her cheek leaning on her left hand, and her eyes were wet with tears as she pondered what an evil deed she had taken part in by her counsels. Now, when Aeson's son had joined his comrades again in the spot where he had left them when he departed, he set out to go with them, telling them all the story, to the gathering of the heroes, and together they approached the ship. But when they saw Jason, they embraced him and questioned him. And he told to all the counsels of the maiden and showed the dread charm. But Idas alone of his comrades sat apart, biting down his wrath, and the rest joyous in heart. At the hour when the darkness of night stayed them, peacefully took thought for themselves. But at daybreak they sent two men to go to Aietes and ask for the seed. First Telamon himself dear to Ares, and with him Aethalides, Hermes' famous son. So they went and made no vain journey, but when they came, lordly Aietes gave them for the contest the fell teeth of the Ionian dragon, which Cadmus found in Ogygian Thebes, when he came seeking for Europa, and there slew the warder of the spring of Ares. There he settled by the guidance of the heifer, whom Apollo, by his prophetic word, granted him to lead on his way. But the teeth the Tritonian goddess tore away from the dragon's jaws and bestowed as a gift upon Aietes and the slayer. And Agenor's son Cadmus sowed them on the Ionian plain and founded an earthborn people of all who were left from the spear when Ares did the reaping. And the teeth Aietes then readily gave to be borne to the ship. For he deemed not that Jason would bring the contest to an end, even though he should cast the yoke upon the oxen. Far away in the west, the sun was sailing beneath the dark earth, beyond the furthest hills of the Ethiopians, and night was laying the yoke upon her steeds, and the heroes were preparing their beds by the hawsers. But Jason, as soon as the stars of Haley, the bright gleaming bear, had set, and the air had all grown still under heaven, went to a desert spot, like some stealthy thief, with all that was needful, for beforehand in the daytime had he taken thought for everything. And Argus came, bringing a ewe and milk from the flock, and them he took from the ship. But when the hero saw a place which was far away from the tread of men, in a clear meadow beneath the open sky, there, first of all, he bathed his tender body reverently in the sacred river, and round him he placed a dark robe which Hypsipyle of Lemnos had given him aforetime, a memorial of many a loving embrace. Then he dug a pit in the ground a cubit's depth and heaped up billets of wood, and over it he cut the throat of the sheep, and duly placed the carcass above. And he kindled the logs, placing fire beneath, and poured over them mingled libations, calling on Hecate Brimo to aid him in the contests. And when he had called on her, he drew back, and she heard him, the dread goddess, from the utmost depths, and came to the sacrifice of Aeson's son, and round her horrible serpents twined themselves among the oak boughs, and there was a gleam of countless torches, and sharply howled around her the hounds of hell. All the meadows trembled at her step, and the nymphs that haunt the marsh and the river shrieked, all who dance round that mead of Amarantian Phasis. And fear seized Aeson's heart, but not even so did he turn round as his feet bore him forth, till he came back to his comrades. And now early dawn arose and shed her light above snowy Caucasus. Then Aietes arrayed his breast in the stiff corslet which Ares gave him when he had slain Phlegre and Mimas with his own hands, and among his head he placed a golden helmet with four plumes, gleaming like the sun's round light when he first rises from ocean. And he wielded his shield of many hides, and his spear terrible, resistless. None of the heroes could have withstood its shock now that they have left behind Heracles far away, who alone could have met it in battle. For the king, his well-fashioned chariot of swift steeds was held near at hand by Phaethon for him to mount, and he mounted and held the reins in his hands. Then from the city he drove along the broad highway, that he might be present at the contest. But with him a countless multitude rushed forth, and as Poseidon rides, mounted in his chariot, to the Isthmian contest, or to Taenetus, or to Lerna's water, or through the grove of Hyantian Orchestus, and thereafter passes even to Caloria with his steeds, and the Hymonian rock, or well-wooded Gerastus, even so was Aietes, lord of the Colchians, to behold. Meanwhile, prompted by Medea, Jason steeped the charm in water and sprinkled with it his shield and sturdy spear and sword, and his comrades round him made proof of his weapons with might and main, but could not bend that spear even a little, but it remained firm in their stalwart hands, unbroken as before. But in furious rage with them, Idas, Aphareus' son, with his great sword hewed at the spear near the butt, and the edge leapt back, repelled by the shock, like a hammer from the anvil, and the heroes shouted with joy for their hope in the contest. And then he sprinkled his body, and terrible prowess entered into him, unspeakable, dauntless, and his hands on both sides thrilled vigorously as they swelled with strength. And as when a warlike steed, eager for the fight, neighs and beats the ground with his hoof, while rejoicing he lifts his neck on high with ears erect, in such wise did Aeson's son rejoice in the strength of his limbs. And often hither and thither did he leap high in the air, tossing in his hands his shield of bronze and ashen spear. That would say that wintry lightning, flashing from the gloomy sky, kept on darting forth from the clouds what time they bring with them their blackest rainstorm. Not long after that were the heroes to hold back from the contests, but sitting in rows on their benches they sped swiftly on to the plain of Ares, and it lay in front of them on the opposite side of the city, as far off as is the turning post that a chariot must reach from the starting point when the kinsmen of a dead king appoint funeral games for footmen and horsemen. And they found Aietes and the tribes of the Colchians. These were stationed on the Caucasian heights, but the king by the winding brink of the river. Now Aeson's son, as soon as his comrades had made the hawsers fast, leapt from the ship, and with spear and shield came forth to the contest, and at the same time he took the gleaming helmet of bronze filled with sharp teeth, and his sword girt round his shoulders, his body stripped, in some wise resembling Ares, and in some wise Apollo of the golden sword. And gazing over the field he saw the bull's yoke of bronze, and near it the plough, all of one piece of stubborn adamant. Then he came near, and fixed his sturdy spear upright on its butt, and taking his helmet off leant against the spear. And he went forward with shield alone to examine the countless tracks of the bulls, and they from some unseen lair beneath the earth, where was their strong steading, wrapped in murky smoke, both rushed out together, breathing forth flaming fire. And sore afraid were the heroes at the sight, but Jason, setting wide his feet, withstood their onset, as in the sea a rocky reef withstands the waves tossed by the countless blasts. Then in front of him he held his shield, and both the bulls with loud bellowing attacked him with their mighty horns, nor did they stir him a jot by their onset. And as when through the holes of the furnace the armorer's bellows anon gleam brightly, kindling the ravening flame, and anon cease from blowing, and a terrible roar rises from the fire when it darts up from below, so the bulls roared, breathing forth swift flame from their mouths, while the consuming heat played round him, smiting like lightning. But the maiden's charms protected him. Then, grasping the tip of the horn of the right-hand bull, he dragged it mightily with all his strength to bring it near the yoke of bronze, and forced it down onto its knees, suddenly striking with his foot the foot of bronze. So also he threw the other bull onto its knees as it rushed upon him, and smote it down with one blow. And throwing to the ground his broad shield, he held them both down where they had fallen on their foreknees, as he strode from side to side, now here, now there, and rushed swiftly through the flame. But Aietes marveled at the hero's might. And meantime the sons of Tyndareus, for long since it had been thus ordained for them, near at hand gave him the yoke from the ground to cast round them. Then tightly did they bind their necks, and, lifting the pole of bronze between them, he fastened it to the yoke by its golden tip. So the twin heroes started back from the fire to the ship. But Jason took up again his shield and cast it on his back behind him, and grasped the strong helmet filled with sharp teeth, and his resistless spear, wherewith, like some ploughman with a Pelasgian goad, he pricked the bulls beneath, striking their flanks, and very firmly did he guide the well-fitted plough handle fashioned of adamant. The bulls, meantime, raged exceedingly, breathing forth furious flame of fire, and their breath rose up like the roar of blustering winds, in fear of which, above all seafaring, men furl their large sail. But not long after, they moved on at the bidding of the spear, and behind them the rugged fallow was broken up, cloven by the might of the bulls and the sturdy ploughmen. Then terribly groaned the clods withal along the furrows of the plough as they were rent, each a man's burden, and Jason followed, pressing down the cornfield with firm foot. And far from him he ever sowed the teeth along the clods as each was ploughed, turning his head back for fear lest the deadly crop of earthborn men should rise against him first. And the bulls toiled onwards, treading with their hoofs of bronze. But when the third part of the day was still left, as it wanes from dawn, and wearied laborers call for the sweet hour of unyoking to come to them straightway, then the fallow was ploughed by the tireless ploughman, four plough gates though it was, and he loosed the plough from the oxen. Them he scared in flight towards the plains, but he went back again to the ship, while he still saw the furrows free of the earthborn men. And all round his comrades heartened him with their shouts, and in the helmet he drew from the river stream and quenched his thirst with the water. Then he bent his knees till they grew supple, and filled his mighty heart with courage, raging like a boar when it sharpens its teeth against the hunters, while it's from its wrathful mouth plenteous foam drips to the ground. By now the earthborn men were springing up over all the field, and the plot of Ares, the death dealer, bristled with sturdy shields and double-pointed spears and shining helmets, and the gleam reached Olympus from beneath, flashing through the air. And as when abundant snow has fallen on the earth, and the storm blasts have dispersed the wintry clouds under the murky night, and all the hosts of the stars appear shining through the gloom, so did those warriors shine, springing up above the earth. But Jason bethought him of the counsels of Medea, full of craft, and seized from the plain a huge round boulder, a terrible quad of Ares and Aeolus. Four stalwart youths could not have raised it from the ground even a little. Taking it in his hands, he threw it with a rush far away into their midst, and himself crouched unseen behind his shield with full confidence. And the Colchians gave a loud cry, like the roar of the sea when it beats upon sharp crags. And speechless amazement seized Aeetes at the rush of the sturdy quat. And the earthborn, like fleet-footed hounds, leapt upon one another and slew with loud yells. And on earth their mother they fell beneath their own spears, like pines or oaks, which storms of wind beat down. And even as a fiery star leaps from heaven, trailing a furrow of light, a portent to men, whoever see it darting with the gleam through the dusky sky, in such wise did Aeson's son rush upon the earthborn men, and he drew from the sheath his bare sword and smote here and there, mowing them down, many on the belly and on side, half risen to the air, and some they had risen as far as the shoulders, and some just standing upright, and others even now rushing to battle. And as when a fight is stirred up concerning boundaries, and a husbandman in fear lest they should ravage his fields, seizes in his hand a curved sickle newly sharpened and hastily cuts the unripe crop, and waits not for it to be parched in due season by the beams of the sun, so at that time did Jason cut down the crop of the earth-born, and the furrows were filled with blood, as the channels of a spring with water. And they fell, some on their faces biting the rough clod of earth with their teeth, some on their backs, and others on their hands and sides, like to sea monsters to behold. And many, smitten before raising their feet from the earth, bowed as far to the ground as they had risen to the air, and rested there with the damp of death on their brows. Even so, I ween, when Zeus has sent a measureless rain, new-planted orchard shoots droop to the ground, cut off by the root the toil of gardening men. But heaviness of heart and deadly anguish come to the owner of the farm, who planted them. So at that time did bitter grief come upon the heart of Aeetes, and he went back to the city among the Colchians, pondering how he might most quickly oppose the heroes. And the day died, and Jason's contest was ended. Oh, nerds. Honestly, like, the first couple books of this were, like, I mean, wild, but it was mostly just names and locations and, like, oh, they just stopped there, and then they stopped there, and then, anyway, I thought it would be a little boring, and then we get to Medea, and it's like, boom, bam, oh my gosh, could never be boring. It's fucking Medea. She is a queen, and also, she is something else while under this spell. Like, the most entertaining and obnoxious, and then Jason's obnoxious, and then he tells her he's literally never, ever, 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 ever going to forget her, and you're like, really, Jason? Really? Anyway, this is so much fun. So next time, we're moving on to book four. When we start book four, I will hopefully be in Greece. I really hope everything is, you know, okay by then. It's a fucking wild world. But that means the readings of the Argonautica will be the regular Tuesday episodes, and Friday episodes will continue to be some amazing conversations that I have pre-recorded. So these are the episodes that are going to come out while I am away. And I mean, honestly, the end of the Argonautica, like, that is going to be a wild ride in itself, and then accompanied by some more incredible conversations with some incredibly fascinating people. Stay tuned. Ugh. I am Liv, and I love this shit.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com, Symbiotica.com.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Father's Day is coming, a day we celebrate the guy who's always there for us. To crack a dad joke. Well, you know what's not a dad joke? Getting $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker with the purchase of his favorite cocktail capsule pack. $50 off. No dad joke. See, this is a dad joke. I lost my glasses today, and guess who I bumped into? Everyone. But the Bartesian Cocktail Maker? It's no joke. Each cocktail capsule contains real fruit juices and all-natural bitters, so dad can make over 60 premium cocktails he loves. Sidecars, old fashions, gimlets, all with the push of a button. So, for the dad who loves a cocktail with friends and a good joke from time to time, get the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. $50 off now until Father's Day. Visit bartesian.com/father to get 50 off the best premium cocktail maker for dad at the best price for you. Bartesian. Premium cocktails on demand.